Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
We started today's program reviewing original reporting from CTV News Vancouver Island last night, talking about a family being evicted from, or effectively evicted, from a travel lodge on Gorge Road East. Brendan Strain, reporting for CTV, tweeted just a short time ago, shortly after 11 o'clock, "People who were previously living in the travel lodge on Gorge Road East are currently being evicted to make room for homeless campers from Pandora Avenue and Topaz Park. He reports many say now they are homeless as they have nowhere to go. So we're creating homeless people while housing homeless people." That's just great. I'm so glad everybody's doing such a great job in dealing with this. And I hope that it gets fixed as soon as possible as I take abnormally deep breaths. Meanwhile, other problems are not going to go away. Mother Nature, relentless in the challenges she's posing to us in the year 2020. Fires will be coming, as they do every wildfire season. Will this year, I should say, be so bad that the sun itself is blocked out, which has happened, what, twice in the last 5 years now? I hope not. Let's bring an expert into the conversation and see what we should look for to get a sense of what is coming. Nicholas Koops is Canada Research Chair in Remote Sensing and Professor in Forest Resources Management at University of British Columbia. Professor, thank you for your time. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are we expecting this forest fire season to unfold at this time?
Well, as usual, we're going to start to see a warming up of the climate during the weather over the next few months as we start to move into summer. So it's going to be the drying of the forest that we're concerning about, that little layer that we have on the forest floor. These are going to be the drivers of whether we expect to see a worse fire season than normal this year.
One of the things that we have on our side is technology gets cheaper, better, and faster every single year. So ostensibly, I suppose, every forest fire season should have new tools at our disposal, even if we choose not to purchase and use them at that time.
That's right. So the research in my lab at UBC Forestry is focused on using drones, but not for the live fire, but for looking at fire fuel. So we know fires spread through the environment, spread through the forest, because of the different structures of fuel we have in a forest. But it's very hard for foresters to measure that structure everywhere. Forests are very, very variable as we walk through the landscape. So research we're doing now, based on the 2017-2018 fires, is looking at, can we better predict those fuels? Can we better predict where the things that make the fire move through the landscape, can we predict those better spatially to better inform our models about how forests are actually moving? We have a good idea about how fire moves through the forest, but the data we need to drive those models is very complex and very hard to measure. Drones are a really exciting new technology, as well as other types of satellite imaging that can give us a real sense of where is that fuel, how is it across the landscape, and then can we get a better understanding of where fire might move.
Talk about these specific situations where a drone would be the highest and best tool, because while they can be great if you know what you want to look at, my understanding is that there's, millions of hectares across British Columbia where a fire may break out depending on a lightning strike or some other event we cannot necessarily predict?
Exactly. So drones are not going to be at all useful during the fire in terms of the fuel. They might be good in terms of looking at where the hotspots are. And we're not going to fly the entire province with drones every year. But what it does do is it gives us that much better understanding of running those models. So if you understand what are the key attributes of a stand, you know how to measure them, and you've got that parameterized in a really good model, then when we do look each night about where that fire is going through the landscape, we run our models, we've got a much better sense of where they're going to go based on the data we've got from these types of technologies.
Oh, interesting. So we could use sampling techniques to try to infer or estimate the larger population characteristics of the forest floor itself. Okay, I see. That's fascinating. What is LIDAR, and how does it play into all of this?
So LIDAR is a technology where it's lasers. So believe it or not, we have planes that are flying all over us all the time that are sending out lasers. They measure the distance between the plane and the ground. As that pulse comes down from the plane, passes through the forest, the leaves in the forest, and we get returns, little bits of light that come back. And we can actually work out how high are the trees using that technology. In fact, I can get the height of a tree from a plane using LIDAR to within about 30 centimeters. So it's very, very accurate technology. So we're flying our forest in British Columbia. We don't fly the whole province because, again, it's very expensive to fly the entire province with a plane.
Yes.
But we fly key management forests, key areas where we're currently operating in our forests, and areas where, for example, fire might be coming. And we get a very good idea of the structure of the forest, the height, the volume, information about the crown. It's become an incredibly important tool in our sustainable management of forestry, and luckily, Canada's a world leader in that area.
I would suspect we are, necessity being the mother of invention and all. How wide a swath can be scanned as a plane flies over a forested area?
About 500 metres. So we're getting about half a kilometre as the plane flies along, which is why it becomes expensive, because the plane's got to go backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. We can fly a little bit higher sometimes to get a little bit wider, but it's around 500 metres per strip.
All right. How are we choosing to allocate our scarce flight time at the moment in terms of mapping areas that we hope we will need data for before others?
So the ministry and the Ministry of Forests and other people working in our forests in British Columbia, you know, often we're going to focus on the forests that we're actively managing now.
Okay.
So we know that BC is sort of broken up into these forest management units. It's going to be where we're actively looking at that timber for future harvest, where we've perhaps got communities around the forest that we're concerned about in terms of the impact of fire. So it's sort of these high interest focus areas that are going to be driving where our acquisitions are occurring.
How many planes do we have that can do this?
There's lots of private companies that offer it. So we're not really limited by planes or things, for that matter. It's more money.
You mentioned models. That's a simple word with a very complicated explanation as to what it means. And we've been reminded of that with all of our talk about current pandemic infection numbers. But computer models come in all shapes and sizes, don't they?
That's correct. So, you know, with LiDAR, they're like almost like a video game. The data we get back is looks very much like I'm playing some sort of video game. But behind the visual, there is information. And, you know, all a model is just trying to capture that data and put it into some sort of information. So rather than a leaf, we actually might simulate that as a very small box that we tick and say, yes, that's got green stuff in it. So these models sound, as you say, simple word, can be complicated, but really they're just our way of representing what's happening in the real world in a computer setting.
Are predictive algorithms used to try to infer where a fire might go, or how does it actually work on a machine level?
Absolutely. So you essentially have a landscape with hills and valleys and roads, and then on top of that we would overlay information like the heights of the trees, the size of the canopies, and so each individual cell or pixel or little baby unit of ground has information associated with it. How tall are the trees? How dry are the trees?
I was going to say, how are you measuring rainfall and saturation? Because that's a tough one.
So that goes straight in. We have layers of climate that are produced from weather station data that are able to go in to inform the models. Yep, and then wind is obviously critically important for fire. So these types of models are able to bring all that information in to then predict where the fire will go.
So we detect a fire start, you pull up your model, you've got data because we were lucky and a plane flew over it and did a LiDAR scan or similar measurements. From that, you can infer how fast the fire might spread, where resources can be deployed. This is fascinating stuff.
That's right. So that's sort of what you're describing there is right at the cutting edge that we're trying to do at UBC and other places as well. Bring all that together so you can essentially have the fire burning and then you're running the model in real time to then see how that spread is occurring. Currently, we have, you know, fire experts and foresters poring over maps and looking at where the fire has gone to try to predict where it's going. But as we build these models and have more computing and more resources to go away and run these models, then we're able to do that in a simulation way as well.
Fascinating work being done. World-leading research being conducted right here in Canada. Our guest is Nicholas Koops. He's Canada Research Chair in Remote Sensing. He's a professor in Forest Resources Management at UBC. High-tech tools like laser radar, LiDAR, drones being used to feed information into complex computer models to allow us to better predict how a fire will spread once that random ignition starts from either a lightning strike or, heaven forbid, human-caused activity, allowing us to deploy our resources in a smart fashion so we get the most bang for our bucks, so to speak. Professor, any final thoughts you'd like to touch on today?
No, I really appreciate your interest in the work, and it's great, you know, a term like LIDAR, it's great that people are really interested in this type of technology, so thank you.
It's fascinating stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing how it's deployed. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, bye.
Have a great day. Bye now. Here we go, folks. It's some of the leading cutting-edge research allowing technology so that we can be smart about deploying the limited resources we have, and believe me, you will never see resources, or at least seldom see resources, feel more limited when you look at the amount of firefighters, water bombers, and other forest fighting gear that we have measured against the, well, how many hectares is BC's forest? It's got to be in the millions. I should have looked that up beforehand. I'll look that up during the break. How's that sound? Quick break, more open lines right after this. 250-386-1161 star 1070. We're back in just a second.